Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough with me, your radio talk show host, Dr. Beverly L. Swanson. A talk show of real people with real stories, real testimonies that will inspire you and me to moving forward into our breakthrough. So glad to have you today. Now we're going to move forward to inspiration, empowerment, and breakthrough with Dr. Beverly L. Swanson.
Empowerment and breakthrough. This is Dr. Beverly. Wow, it's been so long, it seems, since I've talked with everyone on the air. Just like everyone else, I took some time out with the Lord, spending the first of the year to see what it is that He desires this year, this phenomenal year, what He is requesting of me. And I'm sure that many of you have done that. But nonetheless, I'm so excited to be here with you. Listen, for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about and sharing testimonies, stories about the miracles of God in home gatherings, and small church gatherings, people coming together that simply believe and trust in God, and they're not leaving disappointed. I mean, from small children to teenagers to adults, you're seeing stories on Facebook, postings of people sharing their testimonies of divine healings and encounters. And there's so much negativity shared in the media today and nearly nothing portrayed of the miraculous movement of God. Well, I want to bring people together that will share their stories, their testimonies, and how God and their relationship with Him has impacted their lives. You'll be surprised who they are. They're not just clergy, or they're not just men and women of God, but people, everyday lives, those that you're admiring in music and dance, they'll tell you, if it wasn't for the Lord God that they love and serve, they wouldn't be there where they are today. So I am hoping that you tune in for these next 4 weeks, because I want you to be inspired, encouraged, and to build your faith for your breakthrough. Now, the guest today is Apostle John H. Lucas, Jr. He would probably just frown like, oh, Dr. Beverly, you really going to say my whole name? Yes! Because he's not just a man of God. He's a dear friend, and he's letting the Lord use him to do wonderful things, simply letting the miraculous Holy Spirit show up in home gatherings and the amazing stories that he'll have to share. So I won't go into that. We'll let him do that. But I want you to know, the thing that I admire about Apostle John is he's a simple, gentle, yet powerful man of God. And he talks consistently about the faithfulness of God. And he's written a marvelous book that we'll give him a minute to talk about before the end of the broadcast, entitled The Faithfulness of God Outside the Box. And I tell you, he has a profound ministry. They love him over in the Philippines. He's doing great things here in the United States on the behalf of the Lord. He simply just, like the rest of us, surrenders and lets God have his way. So, as a woman of God, I will not stop until everyone understands globally that we do serve a living God. And he's not just God, he's our Father. And he wants nothing but the best of us. So if you will join me in welcoming not just a man of God, but a dear friend, Apostle John Lucas. John, are you there?
Yes, I am. God bless you, Dr. Beverly Swanson. Amen. I'm so glad to be on the program. I was thinking before I got on here, I said, you're not just a woman of God, but you are a facilitator to help those who are unknown to bring into to out of promiscuity into greatness. I believe that when you're doing a great work, and I thank you for this opportunity to share today. Amen.
I'm humbled by your comment, and I want to thank you for
now. I believe it's the Lord. Amen.
Amen. It always is, isn't it? We just walk.
Yes.
And he does what he wants.
Yes. Amen.
I have seen some recent postings on Facebook where you, not so long ago, were in the Philippines, and you were sharing some wonderful movements of God. And I'm going to be quiet because I'd like you to share, you know, how meetings come about, and how do you even, what doors open up for you to go in a foreign country and allow God to use you? And please share some of the miraculous that happened. So we're just going to back up and let the Holy Spirit have its way. Can you share?
Okay. All right. I would love to. And one of the things, you know, you just asked me a question, how was the doors open? You know, I believe it was the Lord for sure. And, you know, God calls us and he has a purpose for us in the earth. And one of the things that, you know, a lot of people I heard, they say that, I don't know what God wants me to do, but it's in your passion. And I remember I was in the Navy and I got drunk one night and I was, you know, had been drinking wine, and I ended up going to the hospital late at night. And so they called the police and everything, but what I realized out of that, I won't go into the whole story, but what I realized out of that, my passion was, I was in that hospital that night looking in the rooms with patients, but it was desire in me to see them heal, even though I was in the wrong spirit. Amen? And so whatever drives you is usually what God has called you to do, your compassion. And so therefore, the doors will be open for you as you understand and know that this is what God wants me to do. And I had a friend of mine who, you know, I met, I think it was supernatural meeting him. He decided to go to India one time, and that the doors was closed on that. So we end up contacting a friend in the Philippines, and then we start going. And his vision was to take people on a trip, and then they start taking people on mission trips. And that's what I've done. I've taken teams over to the Philippines also. But one day I was sitting in Sacramento, and I realized I had all these Filipino friends, unbeknownst to me. I didn't understand it at the time. And then one day the Lord opened my eyes and showed me the Philippines and gave me a deep compassion for Filipinos. And I can feel it when I'm not there. I can feel them calling on, you know, the drawing on you. Amen. For the anointing more so that you have for the people. I don't care where it is, Africa, Philippines, South America, Asia, whatever. And so what happened to me is I started going, and then I just came back from the Philippines in February and March, you know, for a month, you know, and it was such an incredible, because I'm sent, you know, I have assignments. And one of the things that I realized is that if I don't follow the assignment, then I'm not walking in the purpose that God called me to do. And so when you begin to walk in the purposes that God has called you to walk in, then you will find your greatest success. Plural. And so I thank God for that. And I want to read a scripture because I was really preparing for this service today. I mean, for this time of sharing today. And Hebrews 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ, I'm reading out of Amplified. It says, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is always the same yesterday, today, yes, and forever to the ages. But I was listening to, I was in Yuba City about 8 months ago, and a guy was there speaking, and he said that when he read that, he quoted that to God, and God said, you don't know what you're talking about. And I'm talking about miracles now, because this is where we are. This is the season of miracles. Amen. And so the Lord said to him when he read verse 8, he said, you don't know what you're talking about. He said, read verse 7. And verse 7 in the Amplified really just speaks to me, I'm telling you. And it says, verse 7 of chapter 13 of Hebrews, it said, remember your leaders and your superiors in authority, for it was they who brought to you the word of God. Observe attentively and consider their manner of living, the outcome of their well-spent lives, and imitate their faith. Their conviction that God exists is the creator and the ruler of all things, the provider and the bestower of eternal salvation through Christ, and their leaning on the entire human personality of God in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. And what the Lord said to him is that when you follow their faith, then Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes. Now, you know, I'm going to have to park on that for a minute, because you said something that sparked in my spirit, and this is so important. Imitate their faith.
Yes.
So everyone who is a believer of God can do what it is that the Lord said: heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons. Don't have yourself, you can, according to Hebrews 13, verse 7, what, John?
That's right.
It takes the faith of the ones that they sent, that he has sent. They teach. So I want to go back to the word sent.
Yes.
You were sent. You're sent. And I always say the Lord said go, so I go. So explain to our audience, explain to the ladies and gentlemen, the dear ones, what it means when the Lord sends you. You were sent. So you were deployed.
Yeah, because apostles are sent ones. It's literally the definition of an apostle is a sent one as a father. He's one that's sent. And when you read through the scriptures, Jesus Christ sent the disciples out. Two by two, he sent them, you know. And when you go on, and it's for an assignment. And so a lot of times, Apostle Remy Springer and I, we talk about this all the time, is that sometimes people want to invite you, but you can't go by invitation. You have to go by God's direction and instructions. And when you're not doing that, you'll be ineffective in what God is calling you to do. Or you know, I was in the Philippines this time, and I told the pastor, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that, but the pastor I went to, they had been inviting me for like 5 years to come, but the Lord never told me to come. And so this is one thing for the apostles, is that a lot of times, because we are lacking money, you know, we'll go anywhere to get an offering. But if you read about apostles, they don't afford receiving an offering. And I know we're going to have a whole lot about phone calls on that one.
Used to that, bless God.
Well, I'm not dealing with that right now, but the fact is, I told them when I was in that church, the pastor, I said, you know, you didn't want me to come before God sent me, because I could have come up with a canned message. I could have come up with something that been good for you, but it was not God's will. And so I told them, I said, you know, you needed a rhema word. You don't need any word but you need a rhema word. And the God had given me one, because he spoke to me 2 nights before that to send me. And one of the things I did while I was in the Philippines, I prayed a lot, because I knew that, because sometimes God sends us on assignments and we don't know what it is until we get there.
Right.
And so when you are sent, the scriptures tell that Jesus in Matthew 10, it talks about it when they sent them out. He said, don't take a purse or coat and all that stuff. You know, don't take the money with you. And God will everything you need. I had a miracle while I was there. I completely gave all my money away. And all of a sudden, God showed up, and my son, spiritual son, called me from San Diego and sent me 18,000 pesos so I can give some more away. But you got to understand, if you're sent, you didn't just go. You were sent. And that makes it all important, especially when you go into a foreign country, a third world country, where you, especially Mindanao, we go to Mindanao, where there's a lot of Muslims and a lot of killings and stuff like that go on. And so you need to know that you are sent and not just went.
That's right. Ladies, I am speaking with Apostle John Lucas Jr., and he is the senior pastor of Glory Land Revival Center International Ministries here in Sacramento, California. That is a non-denominational ministry. He's known as Papa Many in the Philippines and in Hong Kong. And we are talking about the miracles, that miracles are still alive today. So he is sharing about the fact that as he goes, you have to be sent. You have to be sent by the Lord, because when you're sent by the Lord, he's sending you specifically for a reason and a cause, a message, and because he's going to use you as a vessel for his signs, wonders, and miracles. He shared with you Hebrews 13, verses 7 and 8 in the Amplified. So we are talking, John, about being sent. He is so right. I remember the Lord has sent me to go to Florida one time, and it took everything in my account to go. I had no money left. I had to go from Sacramento to Florida because the Lord said go. I didn't know who I was going to be talking to. I had no hotel, no money for a hotel, no money for a vehicle, and no money in my pocket. But I had to go. Mm-hmm. And when I went, once my foot landed the plane, the Lord said, check the account. I checked the account. There was $700 suddenly in there. Not only did I get a car, but I got a brand new car that was not driven and the hotel room favor for a week. I really want you to understand that God is a living God, and he works through his servants in a fivefold ministry. He is using his apostles and prophets, evangelists today, just like he did in the Word of God those thousands of years before. And I want his stories of what happened when he was sent to the Philippines, again, to inspire and encourage you. And also, I want you to understand, it's not the number. It doesn't have to be a mega church. Right. God shows in the hearts of people that have a desire, that are crying out to him. It's not the number. It's the movement of the Holy Spirit working through them. John, is that correct?
That's correct. It's those who are seeking literally the face of God, not the hand of God, which speaks of provision, but is seeking the face of God, which speaks of his presence. And this is what I'm seeing. I had a friend of mine came from Reading, and that's what he preached Sunday, was about seeking the face of God. But I want to go back to Hebrews 7 and 8 for a minute, because it said that, you know, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever in the King James in verse 8. And so what he was telling the brother was that when you follow the faith of those who taught you the Word of God, and what I wanted to add to that is that some of us have read a lot of Kenneth Hagin's books, Kenneth Copeland. We have listened, and they have taught us. And see, it's not Smith Wigglesworth. And so I want you to understand that some faith, I have been here and has laid hands on me. I listened to his teachings five times at least. He's laid hands on me. Different ministries from around the world have imparted to me. But then one time, when I first started preaching in the Baptist church, the first thing I was talking about was healings. That was the message about healing and how that the blues and all these different music had infiltrated the church. And so we singing songs that bring us into soulish things instead of the spirit. And so when I was in the Philippines this time, you know, the pastoral that I actually, the Lord told me to join a church over there while I was there. He said, I want you to have a church, home church in the Philippines. And so this church is called Villanueva Christian Center, which Pastor Virgie Mawit, a longtime friend. And so she, while I was there, she took me to see a boy who was blind, and he was paralyzed. And the doctors had given him 3-4 hours to live, and this was the fourth day. And so I said to myself, I said, you know, if God kept him, and it's not so much me, but he kept him until I could come to see him, you know, I mean, for a reason. And I began to pray for him, and he was speaking to me in his Visayan language, and they was interpreting, and he was telling me, Pastor, I can't see him. I can't move, you know, and in a lot of pain, you know, cancer had gone into his, from his lungs to his brain and stuff like that. And so I just swept my hand across his body, and he jumped because he couldn't see me, so he didn't know what I was doing, but I knew that God had delivered him. And then they took me to see a woman who had breast cancer, and I prayed for her while I was there. And then I understand some things about breast cancer is, you know, the right and breast relationship. Right breast speaks of the natural family. If there's some trauma that happened in your life, because what God is doing is that when the 10 lepers came to Jesus, only one came back to worship him. And the one that came back to worship him, the Lord said to him, Jesus said to him, go and be thou made whole. Now, what the other one was healed, but there were some ramifications in that one that came back's life that was totally free. In other words, the root and all the social stuff that he went through of being a leper, not being able to be around his family, not being able to be in the public. You know, all these things were wiped away. In other words, his spirit, soul, and body was completely made whole. And so this is what God wants to do, not so much heal somebody of cancer, but he wants to get to the root of that. What caused that? And I was listening to a teaching by T.D. Jakes, and he was talking about generational curses and things like this. And I've seen so many miracles, I mean, through this thing. It's taking people through deep cleansing. I prayed for about 8 people in the Philippines this time, and from things that they had in childhood, and they was completely made whole. I mean, miracles like miracles. I mean, especially when God goes into the person's life and gets rid of the very root of the thing that caused them to be angry, caused them to have this disease, amen, because everything has a spiritual root. Every disease in the man has a spiritual root.
Exactly. Amen. So, ladies, I know this may be a little different, but here's the thing. We are here that you are inspired with the truth. This, you have to hear the truth, because the only way one can achieve full deliverance in Christ Jesus is to understand the truth. It's not just the word of winning souls, but for your soul to become whole as the whole man. There's so much more than receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He wants us to be whole and fully delivered. And a lot of times, the sicknesses, the diseases, illnesses that we experience in our body isn't just that. They are infirmities, and they are generational curses. They are so real. And I want John to take a little bit of time and talk about an infirmity. An infirmity may appear as a sickness or disease disorder, but how many times have you gone to the doctor, you have these symptoms that are so clear, yet when the performs all these tests, they can't find anything.
Exactly.
Infirmities, generational curses. Don, can you talk a little bit about that, infirmities that you've seen? You've already named a few, but I want them to be able to connect.
I want to especially speak about a spirit of infirmity, because I was in the Philippines, and Pastor Virgie always had me pray for the people, even if I don't speak. If I just go there to visit, she'll have me pray for people, because she's seen, what God does. And so I want to read this scripture first. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you, the priestly nation, have rejected knowledge. I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me, seeing you have forgotten the law of God. And I will also forget your children. But, that first part of that verse is, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And what the Lord showed me about that is that it's not so much if you don't know it, but if someone around you don't know it, then you will be destroyed because of that. All right? And so of infirmity, when I was there in the Philippines this time, I prayed for a lady at the altar, and she said, I got these like nodules in my stomach. And when I had the pastor lay hands on her stomach, she said it moved. So I knew right there it was of a spirit of infirmity. All right?
Yeah.
Because it moved. It was a spirit of infirmity. And it moved in her stomach. And we must have prayed about four or five times, and then they just disappeared in her stomach. Amen? And there was another person at another church that I went to in the Philippines this time, a similar problem in her shoulders. It will go from one shoulder to the other, spirit of infirmity. Infirmities are things that have been put on you by curses, word curses, things that come down hereditarily or come down through generational curses. I know Galatians 3:13 says we have been redeemed from the curse. Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Jesus became a curse for us, but if there's no forgiveness, these things will take a root. Amen? And so sometimes I went back while I was in the Philippines ministering to those people. I went back all the way to Adam to forgive the sins of the fathers. And the spirit of infirmity was broken because we went all the way back and used that weapon I call forgiveness, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Amen. And so we were able to destroy that infirmity because of forgiveness and acknowledging that, and one of the things that I prayed for this one lady was to say, Lord, when this person did this to me, it hurt me. And acknowledging that it hurt you. You're not denying that you went through it. And this is the issue right there. And sometimes people just deny it. Oh, I'm not going through that. Well, look, your arm is falling off. Come on. My arm is still on. I mean, you're in denial, and you can't be in denial. You're just telling the enemy or the sickness or diseases in your body or the infirmities in your body, you have a right to be in me because Jesus bore my sickness and my sorrow and my grief on the cross. And so that's a big issue right there, because I have prayed for people, and I seemed like I couldn't get a breakthrough. But when I began to find out that they had not forgiven the person that hurt them, then it was like a brick wall, a lead wall you could not penetrate. There was a lady in the Philippines who had arthritis in her knees really bad. And I stood there before I did anything. I said, and I was asking the Lord, what is this? And he said, she has not forgiven someone. And so I told her. And an interpreter said to her, you need to forgive somebody. She said, no, I have forgiven everybody. And then I said, well, I want you to think about it. And she said, oh, my son has been taking money from me, and he won't give it back. And I told her to forgive him, And when she did, arthritis was gone out of her knees completely. Just because of forgiveness.
Yes. It is nothing more painful, John.
The Bible says, when you stand praying, forgive.
Say that again, John.
The Bible says, when you stand praying, forgive.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
For Christ has forgiven you. And we
I think people
understand
part of those two weapons.
One of the main hindrances to, this is one of the main hindrances to miracles. Amen. Or healing. Amen.
Yes. The power of love as a weapon and the power of forgiveness as a weapon.
That's what I say all the time. These are weapons that are not carnal, but they are mighty.
Right.
Faith works by love. Faith works by love. Amen.
Amen. And again, it really it's nothing more painful than to see this on people, but they just can't get past their own pain, not realizing that being their pain.
Exactly. And so that's why we teach. That's why we love to teach, because I had to teach some people in the Philippines some things before they would accept, because I ministered to a lot of Catholics in the Philippines, and I would ask them, are you born again? And some people said salvation is the greatest miracle. I don't know if I agree with that, but I know salvation is the number one thing. But what I'm saying is that when I began to minister to them, the Lord had given me a revelation in John 3. It says that except you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And so the Lord said to me is that if you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom. The only thing you will see is the church. You will not see the kingdom. Amen? And so, in other words, you'll be stuck in. You'll be seeing the church and all its frailties, all the faults and things that are going wrong, but you will not see the kingdom. And so when I began to teach that to some Catholics, they became born again, and I mean radically saved. I mean, you know, which is a miracle because Catholics over in the Philippines are very devout. And they tell you in a minute, I'm not born again, I'm Catholic. And so when I began to share that, not one person turned me down. One lady, when she gave her life to Christ, she shook her head and started laughing in the spirit because she saw. Her eyes was open. And my imagination was she was literally saying, well, I couldn't see this before. But all of a sudden, she saw the kingdom for the first time in her life. One taxi cab driver I led to the Lord, and he told me his wife was born again. And when he came home from working that day at 7 o'clock at night, she said immediately when he walked through the door, he's changed. I'm talking about miraculous power of God converting a sinner.
And it doesn't matter the sin. There is no sin too great that God cannot convert a sinner instantly.
Exactly. I'm telling you, transformation is what it was. And this is what God wants us to do, you know, because it begins with that. I was overwhelmed. I wept a lot because, I mean, I was seeing things. That, you know, I ran into one lady she worked at a shop that sold teas and herbs and stuff. And I would always go there, and I was looking at this lady. She was glowing, and so I said something to her. I said, you know, it's a lot of people that deceive, and she said, that's right. And she began to elaborate on that, and I said, you were born again? She said, yeah. I said, who led you to the Lord? She said, you did, in 2014.
Oh.
In 2014. I mean, it was so, and, you know, like I said, being sent, if you go where God tells you to go, and you do what God tells you to do, you will see the greatest results. And one of the things that when my wife and I went to the Philippines and Hong Kong one time, we went down to Hanford near Fresno, and the Lord began to speak to me about, Jesus only did what he saw his father doing, and he only said what he heard him say. And when I began to implement this in my life, I began to get up in the morning, especially when I'm ministering, Lord, what are you doing today? And I've seen, that's why I'm telling you, I've seen so many miracles. If I begin to start testifying, and people ask me this, doctor, is that, do I see miracles in the United States like I do over there? I say, yes, I do. I see miracles almost every day. I remember one time I had to go into the hospital for myself. I had to do some testing because they thought something was wrong with my heart. And I end up, going down to get on the treadmill. And it was a new nurse. It was a Filipino nurse. And she started crying, and she said, are you all right? She kept asking me, are you all right? I said, yeah, I'm good. My legs are kind of tired, but I'm good. So she called the doctor, and the doctor stopped the test. And I said, what's going on? She said, oh, it was okay. And so when I went back to the room, I had to pray for her. And shortly after that, my nurse, because they admitted me to the hospital, my nurse came in, and she sat down at the foot of my bed. This is highly unusual, unprofessional. Nurses never come in the patient's room and sit down. And I knew something was wrong. And so I called her to the bedside. I said, what's going on? She said, my daughter is on the street, and I'm just, and it's crushed me. I prayed for her. She got free, and she called her husband told him to come to the hospital to meet me. Soon as that went on, I was out of the hospital. They let me go. I was in there going through something in my own body.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I'm telling you, I better be slow down here. I'm trying to slow down. But Jesus said he's touched with the feelings of our infirmity. John, in 1 John, it says that as he is, so are we in this world.
Yes.
I want to say this to the listeners that you are a miracle waiting to go somewhere. And my thing is to always let people know that it's not just for the apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers. It's for those who believe. Amen.
Yes. Amen. So ladies and gentlemen, my guest today has been Apostle John Lucas Jr. And he's been sharing his own experiences with the Lord in the presence of God and the miracles, signs, and wonders that has been not just administered through him, but he also teaches. He teaches everyone how anyone that loves, believes in the Lord can be used to do this, just that. That's what the word says. He said that we are in a season of miracles. He is so right, because the Lord is showing up. He wants everyone to know that he is the only true God, and he is a living God. He is not dead. He just needs people that will believe, and those that will go when he says go, to deliver and touch the hearts of his people, that he can work through them, and that can be you. John has mentioned several times that he goes where he has sent the apostle. But if you feel in your spirit that you want the apostle to come, whether you are in the United States or outside of the United States, contact him. He will go before the Lord to see what the Lord wants. Don't hesitate to contact him. John, I'm going to give out your information that you gave me last time.
It's fine. Yeah,
again, he's a senior pastor of Glory Land Revival Center International Ministries in Sacramento. But you can reach him via his email at Glory Land Revival, GloryLandReVival1, the number one, at Comcast.net?
.net, yes.
Okay, at Comcast.net. You know, he is not just an apostle, well, that sets himself up in obedience to the Lord to be used by him for those miracles, as the apostles Paul and Peter. He is a teacher of the Word of God. And that's what we do. It's not just about going. It is about teaching the people what the Lord is saying today in the season that we are in. John, I want to thank you so much for taking a time again to be on this show with us today. You are dear to my heart, and I love the way the Lord is using you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you go to Facebook, he is on Facebook, and he's always posting his experiences when the Lord is moving YouTube. And your Facebook, John, is under?
I have two Facebook pages, John H. Lucas Jr. and John Lucas Jr.
Okay, so there you have it. You just can't miss him. He is out there to be used by the Lord. Don't hesitate to contact him. And again, I want to thank you, John, for being on the air with us today.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. God bless you real, real good today. Amen.
I receive that, and God bless you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to check in with us next week, as next week we will have another amazing guest on sharing his testimony as well with how the Lord has impacted his life, all his life. And that is, again, what we are talking about. So who is it going to be then, Dr. Beverly? Well, you know him as the Prince of Soul, I believe is what we're there calling him, the Prince of Soul. Let me double check that. The new Prince of Soul. His name is Rashad Carlton. He is known as Rashad, but you didn't know. He's a Hebrew American singer, songwriter, model, and inspirational speaker and inspirational teacher. He used to direct a gospel choir, and he bears all his talents and abilities from the Lord himself. So I tell you, there's always a side of success that you may not know about. Isn't it time to come out and simply tell the truth so that the people can truly understand where greatness comes from? It's not ourselves. It's not a gift that we conjured. It is a gift from the gift of God, and it's time that we start looking at him and give him all the glory. So once again, thank you for joining me on Dr. Beverly on Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough. At 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Listen, you can look at my website at drbeverlylswanson.com. If you need to reach me, click there. Click that contact. Send me an email and your information. So in the meantime, listen.